Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, just to let you know where I am, I'm in a place that's surrounded by beautiful hills. It's in the countryside, just outside Dublin. I'm looking at a gorgeous house, bird feeders, a pond, and critically, a shed. Shed that I haven't been in ages. Hello. Carly Ennis. Thank you.
How are you?
I am good.
God, it's cold out there, isn't it?
It's very cold.
Warm in here.
Very, very frosty.
It's hot in here.
Nice and toasty.
Yeah, like myself.
So I have been here in Young, so how's everybody looking? It's stunning.
Good. Everybody's good. So we're in.
Hello, dear Critter Shed listener. It's been a while, hasn't it? Well, I have to say, it's great to be back in the shed with Colly. And today, to celebrate the first episode of our new season, we're going to talk about an animal that is probably universally disliked, detested, even hated. But which, of course, when you get to know it, is utterly fascinating, mesmerising, endlessly interesting, and, dare I say it, beautiful. And of course, Colly and I both hope that by the end of this episode, you'll feel the same way. So, welcome to the Critter Shed, and today we're all about bedbugs. So, I suppose the first thing that I want to know, as always, Colly, what is a bedbug?
It's an insect. It's a parasitic insect. And they are specifically very interested in our tasty blood. Mm. And they've been in the news a lot lately because there seems to be, for some reason, explosions in their numbers in Europe, in London, all over the place, some places in America as well, which is really interesting. Great survivors, obviously, these creatures, and really fascinating, and have a fascinating life cycle too.
So we don't have any, thankfully, to show.
No,
but
we have a photograph
here. What do they look like?
I would say they look quite like very small cockroaches.
Oh, yeah.
Don't they?
Yeah.
Well, they have that insect body shape anyway.
Yeah, so with they're the large very abdomen. Oblong.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the adult there as well. But they do go through about, I think it's 5 or 6 molts as they come into adulthood, from egg to adulthood. They have a very fascinating way of reproducing that we'll talk about later on.
I've heard rumours about this and I'm very curious. So it's like, it's an oblong shape. How many legs am I looking at there?
You're looking at the 6, the stereotypical insect body.
Yeah.
Yeah, 6
so
legs.
The head, a thorax. Yeah. A head, a neck, and a thorax. Is that right?
The head, the thorax, and the abdomen.
Head, thorax, and abdomen.
And the abdomen on these guys is really extended, as in it's really, really long and it's quite flat.
Yeah.
And they're quite, they'd be almost like a reddish brown. Would that be a fair enough description of colour?
That's what they look like, yeah.
And that's when they don't feed. But when they feed as adults, then, of course, their abdomen, their backside, for want of a better word, becomes quite engorged with blood.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when they're biting people, people will have allergic reactions. They'll get itches. They'll, you know, they'll notice that they're getting bitten. But 50% of the time, so it's split 50-50, 50% of the time, you won't even notice you're getting bitten.
Oh, really?
So some people can live in with these things in their house until the infestation becomes absolutely insane.
Wow.
And they don't have any scratches, or because the way they bite into you with their tube-like mouths, they have a saliva that obviously is anticoagulant and it helps them drink your blood easier. But that affects 50% of humans. The other 50% doesn't affect them at all. You could literally be living in a house and you're getting drank dry every night, like these mini vampires coming out and sucking you dry, and people don't realise for ages.
And they are tiny, aren't they?
They are absolutely tiny. Are we talking
millimetres?
Yeah, you're talking about just under a centimetre for a fairly
centimetre,
yeah.
Millimetre.
Yeah, no.
Centimetre.
Yeah, about 1 centimetre for a fairly large adult.
Well, that's
yeah.
quite big.
Pardon me, but I'm just going to butt in very briefly here. What Collie actually meant to say is that an adult bed bug is about half a centimetre.
And then they very good at hiding in bits
yeah,
of the bed.
Well, they've a number of traits that make them quite successful and good at doing what they do. They can go the guts of a year without eating.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow.
And do quite well because blood is so nutritious that when it gets into their systems, they can kind of like just use all that energy and basically rest up in the corner of a bed, in the corner of a room. I'm getting itchy even thinking about it.
You are.
And wait for the next human meal to come along. Now, we've our five senses that we know. These have extra senses in the fact that they can smell the CO2 coming out of your breath.
Right.
So that draws them in.
Ah.
So you'll notice, like, if you were to go to a bed with a lot of these bed bugs in them,
mm-hmm.
and you were to along the edge of the bed,
mm-hmm.
you would straight away see movement towards
oh,
your breath.
Oh, right.
Because that's kind of giving them the chemical signals that there's a mammal there
yeah.
who's got tasty blood. Also, they're very great heat detection as well in their antennae. This is all in their antennae.
That's
so
amazing.
They're really designed for kind of catching people when they're sleeping. They're very active from like
they're
about
nocturnal, aren't
yeah,
they?
Midnight to about 3 a.m. So they have their snacks and then they go and disappear again. Yeah,
Party time.
Disappear again.
So come here to me though. Okay, so they love to eat us, but do they always love to eat our blood, to drink our blood? Like, where do they evolve or who do they evolve with? Because I'm assuming they're very ancient creatures.
Yeah, well, like all insects, they would have been very ancient insects. And I suppose like other parasites we have, like pubic lice and other creatures that lives on us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which are actually an endangered species.
They are
because
endangered.
Of, you know, habitat loss.
Yeah, deforestation. But they would have come up with us as well and specialised in humans, you know. So we would be their primary kind of food source. So it's an amazing kind of co-evolution to grow through the ages, and then they become so specialised and so used to like we kind of made the perfect habitat for them because our beds with all the nooks and crannies and it's just perfect for them to hide out in. And you know, our ancient ancestors wouldn't have made it much better because they would have rebuilt the bed every night.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Whereas not have a permanent bed, so it would have been harder for lice and bed bugs and that. But we're giving them a permanent residence and we're giving them all these nooks and crannies in your room for them to hide out in. And like I said, you know, they can go so long without food that they don't really even need to have that constant source of food, which is why they do so well in places like hotels and Airbnbs and all these places that you should be very, very careful of when you're going.
Yeah. So, Collie, I was reading up a bit on them and I know that they have quite an interesting life cycle and in particular an interesting way of reproducing.
Yes. It's called traumatic insemination.
Okay.
Or traumatic fertilisation. So it's basically like all animals that reproduce. If you think about a plug and a socket, that's generally how things get done in the animal kingdom. The male will have the device, the penis, for inserting the sperm into the female who have an orifice for collecting it.
Mm-hmm.
And the dance continues into
it
the night.
Indeed.
Yes.
Yeah.
But with these guys, for some reason, the male tends to just spear the female in the abdomen with his reproductive organ.
So the female doesn't have a specific...
She does.
A specific orifice.
She does for laying, but they just...
Goes through the abdomen.
Yeah, instead.
Jesus Christ.
For some reason. And it must be advantageous in some way, obviously, because they're doing quite well.
Yeah.
But nobody really knows why.
Wow. So, yeah. And like she survives that.
Yeah. Obviously, yeah, she wow. does, yeah. But like it's just a very strange way of mating. And you can watch them. Like I've seen some videos of them. You can see it on YouTube or Google. You can see the males like, whereas like a lot of insects, it would be male mounting a female.
Yeah.
The stereotypical kind of, for a lot of animals, so you'd be kind of on top of her, much like a dog or a cat would mate as yeah. well. But instead of like the reproductive organ just going in from behind, he's kind of just stabbing her from the side all
wow.
over.
Wow.
It's very, very strange. And not very romantic, I
no,
have to say.
No.
Where's the romance, lads? Come on.
Oh, it's out the window.
Out the window.
Honestly. But so she has the eggs then. But how
yeah.
does he know where the eggs are? What happens once he...
Well, the eggs would just be filling up her abdomen. Like, I mean, when a female arthropod is expecting, bar crabs who kind of have on the underside of their bellies, but like if you were to look around the room here, like the scorpions, the female scorpions and all, they kind of fill up with eggs.
Okay.
So, I mean, the delivery method of the sperm really isn't that important.
Right.
Not as important as it would be in you or me or in a horse or
yeah.
a sheep.
It's not as specialised. It's not
exactly.
A sort of
it's kind of
defined.
Like yeah,
yeah,
exactly. So yeah, it's a really, really
wow.
interesting thing
okay,
to think
so
about.
Okay, so he invites her to dinner and he stabs her.
Yeah.
And does that last long? And what happens after that?
Does it last long? Yeah, he thinks about golf a lot. No. He probably lasts longer than me. What was I going to say?
Is it one stab or is it several?
I think it's brief enough. But they can stab them several times. And then she can be mating multiple times
oh,
as well.
Jesus
so it's like, yeah.
Christ. We thought ducks have it bad. And they do.
Yes.
And so do cats. But
yeah.
Holy God, this takes a
But
biscuit.
Yeah, it's and again, like, it's kind of one of those things where scientists are scratching their heads asking
yeah.
why.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So she gets stabbed. She fertilizes her eggs.
Yeah, she'll get a feed of blood.
Mm-hmm.
Then she'll go off to you are my sleeping quarters. They do a weird thing as well where they're kind of anywhere that they can kind of smell carbon monoxide and get that heat sense, they'll automatically go to, and they've tested this in labs. If you put the handle of a broom horizontally
yeah.
in a dish with them with an artificial person like a
mm-hmm.
CO2 capsule
right
and you put one in a control without a broom handle in
mm-hmm.
it, they'll go to the broom handle first because over the years they've evolved to be attracted to kind of tall
that
things
shape.
That shape like
wow.
the legs of beds
mm-hmm.
because it draws them up
god yeah
it draws them up into the sleeping quarters
god,
so they'll naturally go up high
yeah. You said carbon monoxide before, you meant carbon dioxide.
Carbon dioxide,
right? yeah.
sorry.
So that's extraordinary. So they recognise the shape of a place that they go to get fed as opposed
yeah.
to that.
They'll go to
the
tall places.
Extraordinary.
Naturally.
Yeah.
It's really, really insane.
So she heads up then to a place where she's going to lay her eggs.
Yeah, and what you're looking for is, and this is a little bit of public service here. So if you are going to a hotel or anywhere that you kind of think it might be a little bit, you know, if you're on a budget and you're worried about bed bugs, where you're supposed to check is around the edge of the beds, where there's kind of folds. If the bed is tied to the wall, check there, and that's where the eggs will be laid, and that's where the whole kind of population will start to grow. And
new family,
yeah. And you'll see if you do have a population of bed bugs there, you'll see black dots, and that's the poop,
yeah,
from the blood. That they poo out, obviously, after they digest it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, just look for that. Make sure that you don't bring back any home. DEET is a great way of keeping them off you at night if you can. They don't
okay.
like DEET. But even at that, I would probably advise against sleeping on the bed if they are
yeah.
there.
How many eggs can she lay?
Hundreds. Hundreds, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so great. Great population, and the fact that they're so good at reproducing, they've been around so long, a lot of the stuff that you will find on the market for them is about, at the moment, 15 to 20% effective.
Really?
Yep. And that stuff would have been 70 to 80% effective not only 20 years ago. Why is that? Because on an evolutionary arms race timescale, they reproduce so quickly and you nuke them with a chemical or some kind of a treatment in a room, the hardiest ones will survive and pass on their genes really quickly.
Because the turnover is so high, you exactly. And generations
then
coming in.
And then you get this kind of high turnover of insecticide resilient creatures.
Yeah.
They reproduce and the effectiveness of that insecticide goes down and down. So now they are turning more towards silica soil, the soil of ancient, you know, sea life, like plankton and stuff like that. You can grind that up and make it into kind of an earth. And if you were to put that in a tin layer on our table here that we have in front of us, just if I put silica soil there and put a cockroach, for example, on it, or a blue bottle, or any invertebrate, that silica soil sticks to them. And it's kind of like those packets that you get in. Do you ever order something like a pair of shoes or something like that? And you'll get a little packet. Do not ingest this. That's the same stuff, but it's a natural version of it. And it does the same thing, which is it absorbs moisture. And invertebrates need moisture to live, and it dries them up. This is incredibly effective treatment for bed bugs.
And it's something you probably can't mutate over or through.
So it's like 80% effective. Wow. And we'll get rid of, like, the population will crash. And if you just keep applying it in a very thin layer around your room. Now, it might look a bit dusty, but does the job. The other effective treatment is if you bring the room temperature up to 180 degrees, that will cook them.
Okay, and everything in it.
and, exactly. So, is it 180? It's a high temperature.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
So steaming.
Fahrenheit, probably. Steaming, right.
So, it would be the American.
Right.
Yeah, so steaming would be a really effective way of doing it as well, because that just kills them outright.
I think that's how a lot of pest control companies
do it. Yeah. They'll actually steam your, they can either close up your room or the house.
And then I guess you're not dealing with toxic chemicals.
Exactly. And it's, and you're not passing on any, you're not making super bugs, super bed bugs with these abilities to avoid all these.
And come here then, chemicals. So hundreds of eggs are laid by the female.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens then? They go through several molts, the young ones, when they
hatch? So you have the babies, you'll have the nymphs as they're kind of developing and feeding up and getting bigger, and they'll go through all those instars, those molts. And then eventually there'll be subadults, final molt into adulthood, and then they go off and start making more little babies of their own.
And those, when they're in the, when they're in the smaller versions, these various instars before they become adults, can they also, are they also resilient? Like if they don't, do they feed, and if they don't get fed, they can still hang around.
Yeah.
God, we're talking.
And you could be walking through a hotel that has an infestation in a room that's not even your room, that's miles away, and you could be standing there waiting for the lift. I'm sorry about painting this picture, everybody, but you could be standing there waiting for the lift, and that tiny little first or second instar of a bed bug, it's, you know, the size of a pinhead, could be crawling along the floor and get into the crack in your shoe.
And that's, I'm seeing that from the camera down really low. I see a huge shoe in front of me, and we're getting closer and getting closer and crawling up your shoe.
Get those hooks in, and then it's on, and it's in,
and
one or two of them, and you come home, put your shoes in the closet, and
wow,
that's how they spread. Yeah,
amazing.
It is amazing, and that's why they really blew up all over, and why they were in the news so much. It's just that kind of, they're one of those species, I think, if you drop the guard around them. Kind of like rats, I suppose, and the great surviving species, the quote-unquote pest species. But it just takes, it's mice in the barn kind of job. It just takes you to kind of drop your guard for a while with them, and they just take off and explode.
Well, I mean, look what happened with our species, humans. Somebody dropped their guard on us, and look how we turned out.
They should have let more tigers out.
Fascinating, fascinating. Again, it's one of those things where the first thing you associate with bed bugs is something
oh, horrible and creepy and how it affects us. But when you think about what they are in the sense of these animals that have learned how to survive,
yeah,
it's extraordinary. Another extraordinary species.
Yeah. And they're kind of farming us in a weird way.
Yeah.
They're using us. They're using us as their source of food.
I hadn't thought about that.
And they know how to crawl into your bed, which is amazing. Up that stick. But like the great survivors, again, all the bugs, all the insects and arthropods are. They've been around for so long and they've evolved into these special kind of life cycles. And I just think they're, I won't say they're endearing because I've experienced bed bugs in the past and they're not the best thing if you start getting itchy, but
yeah,
they definitely are very interesting.
Well, it's like fleas. I've experienced fleas, but I do have a very soft spot for fleas there once they're at a remove from me.
We'll admire them from afar. We love you from afar, bed bugs. Keep doing what you do. Just not in my room. Thank you very much.
Crittershed is presented by Collie Ennis and myself, Colette Kinsella, and it's a Red Hair Media production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.